What the burden that I see that the Lord wants to speak to us about. I'm not the one speaking. So you have to be praying so that the Lord will speak. Amen. If you don't pray, I don't really have anything to tell you. But the Lord has a lot. Amen. So we're looking at closing those back doors that we spoke about. It has to be practical. It has to be something that is with you. And we need knowledge. Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is essential. Amen. And I see a lot of young men and young women in this hall. And you say the young men have power and have energy and knowledge and capacity for knowledge. I also see small children. I also know that they have a capacity. Amen. So let's open our hearts and so that the Lord can really pour in Himself into us. We have our basic chart, that is the tabernacle, and you know the tabernacle has, the real tabernacle is this inner one. This one is the fence, and that's the entrance, and that is the other entrance, and then that's the veil. And then this is the box, and these are the cherubims. And then you have another table here, which you call the golden altar, with the four horns, and then the incense. And then you have the lampstand, and then the table, and the 12 loaves of bread in two rows, and then the brazen laver, which has the base piece of the strength of your consecration. And then you have the altar of brass. We talked about the soul. Everything in the tabernacle is about the soul. And you know the four dimensions, the will, the mind, the emotions, and then the desires. The mind is represented by the ego. The desire is represented by man, the nature of man, which desires darkness and desires light at the same time. And then the wheel, which is like the ox, is a wild animal. And then you have the emotion, another wild animal. And then you have the wing, we have the ego. So when you look at the board, everything here is natural. The eagle is around you. The lion is around you. So is the ox. So this speaks of a practical experience. To be able to understand the back doors, we drew the picture of the soul. And then this is based on Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10, Revelation 4, 5, Isaiah 6, essentially. There are a few other scriptures, but this says that you have a wheel in the midst of a wheel. So this, that where within the midst is the Spirit. For I say that wherever the Spirit of the living creatures goes, then the living creatures will follow. So these are the four dimensions. Again, that's the mind. And then we say the mind is the east gate. It's on Ezekiel 43. Okay, and then this is the spirit of man. This is the spirit of man, which is in connection with the Spirit of God. Okay, so, and then this is God the Son, and then this is the Father. So the life of God comes this way into the soul. That's the direction. As a flow from the Father from to the Son through the through the Holy Ghost into the spirit of man and then into the mind of man. Okay? And you know your mind has to do with your thoughts, your intellect, has to do with your understanding, has to do with imagination, images, it has to do with your perception, it has to do with discernment, it goes down and down. We will get there. But you have to understand this picture. Remember we said we have the body. Thank you. We have the body. So you now have the body. So permit me to draw it this way. You have the body. And then the body has five senses. So the body has five senses, which are entrances. Because the body, medically, is connected with the soul. And you have chemicals. Now, that's what they're using. That's what is being commercialized. And the people commercializing it are Satanists. I don't want to mention names. But the people that make your phones, that make the films you watch, that control the media, that control the internet, the majority of them are Satanists, homosexuals. And they have poured in money, they have the money, they are pouring in money into science, into research, and they have discovered certain chemicals that transmit energy. So they use those energy, they have identified receptors that can pick up the energy from your body. So as you get close to the door opens. You want to wash your hand, the water comes, the soap comes. They are picking up sensors. They use sensors that pick up the heat coming from your body. I know you don't believe you have heat. You have transmission. You don't believe. But the man in Hollywood believes. And he's making things that make you respond. He knows what is in man. And that is why we are here today. Because we have to. They take the things that belong to us and they use it against us. So you have to know who you are. You have to know who you are. There's an energy in your soul. And that energy is transmitted. And it is being commercialized in the form of your phones, cell phones. The iPhone technology has transformed the whole world. Touch phone. Now, they're going beyond touch phone to visual phone. That is, you think about it and the phone starts ringing. So, that is not for, that is just by the side. So, let's get into the word. So that we will be equipped. So here you have the smell, the sense of smell. This is taste. This is sight. And then this is touch. And then what's this one? Hearing. Okay. So these are the five senses. There are five doorways, and they are in the body. Than the body. And the first day, I think it was Friday night, we talked about the man of Gadarenes. And we used that scripture to bring us down to earth. That demons and spirits dwell in a human body. And we have different degrees of different amounts of demons that are dwelling in us. Okay, not you, in us, in me. In me. And it is these spirits that are dwelling in me that are driving me into the sea. Remember, the spirits drove the man to the tombs. And if the spirits cannot get your body, it will get the body of an animal. If you cannot get the body of an animal, it will manage a tree. It will just manage a tree. But whenever it gets opportunity, it will go to the real place. Because the Bible says that when the spirit goes out of the man, it goes through wet, dry places. In other words, when he goes through dry places, he has no life. The thing is energy. Every spirit must have energy. Without energy, it is not there. And your soul is a spirit. Your spirit is a spirit. And your body is just a covering, it's earth. But that earth functions in a level and in the dimension of energy also. And that energy is in three phases, not so solid, liquid, and gaseous phase. And these are all dimensions of life. And that body needs energy. So energy and power and life is the name of the game. So the body must have life. Now, if the body does not have life, what does it do? It must do for it. So the soul is a merchant. He's selling. He's saying, I have something to sell. You went to the devil and said, okay, fine. You want authority? Okay, fine. I have what you want. I am the connection that you need into God. Are you hearing me? The soul of man is the connection that the devil needs. Because the devil wants to be God. We are going to see it in a minute. That is his interest. He wants to touch God. He wants to come to the place of God. He can't get there without, he needs a connection because he has been cast out of God. So the soul says, I have what you need. And you have what I need. Let's form a league. So God says the soul is a merchant. He calls it the merchants of the earth. And it's also called the kings of the earth. Because he's a king because he went into rebellion. Rebellion means alternative government. Because the devil says, if you do so, you shall be like gods. And your eyes will be open to know good and evil. So the man says, I can be a god. Fine. Why not? So there's a problem here. Another spirit has come in. And we drew that picture. The picture of our six circles. Okay, so this is the Father, this is the Son. And then this is the Holy Ghost. This is the spirit of man. And then this is the soul. And then this is the body. Okay, so this is the focus. The spirit of man is the focus. This is the key to closing the back door. The key to closing the back door is to understand the principle of the spirit of man. And yesterday we saw that what the devil needed to do was to cancel out the spirit of man. And the only way he could do that was to bring in darkness. Darkness is energy. Remember, it is light. It says, if the light in you be darkness, it's energy. but it is destructive energy. And we will talk about that darkness in a minute. But it is a destructive energy. So that darkness entered, and man became cut off. Darkness came in, and he formed a barrier. And then the spirit of man became functionless, became detached from the spirit of God. So this soul was left hanging, it's cut off. But in this life, don't you understand? Remember, the soul is a bridge, is a meeting point, is the altar of the whole universe. You understand? This soul was conceived of God even before God began to talk to Abraham. Before he talked to Abraham, there was another man called Melchizedek. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was a man called Melchizedek. Jesus has always been a high priest from the foundation of the world. Anytime he likes, he comes on earth. And when he pleased him, he came to earth and said, come my friend, my name is Melchizedek. And he gave him bread and what? Wine. Abraham began to walk in the Melchizedek priesthood before they talked about the law. And end time Christians are walking in the law. Because which priesthood are we following? In the old one, you must be the son of Aaron. Is it not so? To function. They said this man, his father was not Aaron. So where is he coming from? He said his own priesthood is of another generation. An endless generation. In other words, it says he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world before time. And after time, he will continue to be a priest. And God is saying, come and be part of that priesthood, and you want to go and watch football. That is, so it means that we are flat nosed. We cannot savor, we have no taste, we have no value for the thing God is giving to us. Amen. Someone said in this camp, I'm sleeping on the floor. How can a big man like me sleep on the floor? I have 10 beds in my house. And I have to come here and sleep on the floor. Well, God says sleep on the floor so that you can become a joint head. If you actually knew, you would probably lie down and roll on the floor and say, Jesus, is it enough? Do I roll more? What else again do you want me to do? Because of the weight of glory that is being offered to us. So this priesthood, I'm trying to say, brethren, the priesthood is the soul. The one of Aaron came in, he said the law was brought in because of sin, as a schoolmaster. Until the matters regarding the soul, until the time comes when the son will come to maturity. Amen. So that's what happened. But we need to go into the world. We need to look at certain things, and then we can see the principle, because the whole thing has to do with spirit of man. So let's go to the scriptures. Psalm 8. Some people are already sleeping. Amen. Just use your leg and shake. Just do like this. And they wake up the person. Amen. Say amen now. Psalm 8. What does it say? It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That is the key. That is the key. Verse 4 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Verse 5 is really the key. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his sheep, his feet. So look at it now. Do you see what is happening? God has given this man everything. May he crown him with glory and honor, giving him everything. Yet, he made him a little lower than the angels. So what do you think these rebellious angels are going to do? He said, one man came. I says, I am the son of the owner of this land. They said, hey, very good. Where is your father? My father is very far. He said to me, he said, oh boy, come on. Let us catch him and kill him. When we kill him, we will take over the whole land. Do you understand what is happening? The devil wants what you have. And God purposely made us a little lower than the angels. In other words, when the soul of man was detached from the Spirit of God, what do you think happened? All the spirits said, very good. God has blessed me with my enemy. I have not caught my enemy. In other words, the spirits of darkness began to take the place of the Spirit of God. They began to have dominion over the spirit of man. Amen. So even if you don't want it, even if you don't desire it, there are spirits that from God, they have an authority to rule over your spirit. Because you are made a little lower than them. Amen. I know you are looking at me. Let's look at, let's go to the scriptures. Let's look at Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah 14. We're talking about closing the back doors. From verse 12 to 14, Isaiah 14, 12 to 14 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Hillel, the son of morning? How that called down to the ground with its waking the nations. Verse 13, it gives us, in fact, that is the, you know, what gives you the key. It says, for thou hast sent in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. The soul is speaking of heaven. And I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be. I will be like the Most High. You know, so you have to read it from the mind of God. So this is not about God, I don't have a car, buy a car for me. I don't have job. Give me job. My leg is paining me. Heal my leg. This is about God. This is about a challenge to God. This is about the throne of God. This is about the existence of God himself. This is about the integrity of God himself. Hallelujah. He says, I will be like the Most High. Amen. Now, who is the stars? Who is the cloud? Who is the mountain? The mountain is in Jerusalem. The stars are floating. You come out in the night, you see the stars floating. What is it again? Cloud. The outside, you go and see the clouds outside. Amen. So the devil wants you. The devil wants you. Amen. He told Peter, said the devil had desired to sift you. And I have agreed. I said, yeah, he sift him. So let's come to the board. So the devil wants the soul. He wants the mind, he wants the emotions, he wants the desire, he wants the what's the other one? He wants the will. That is the house of God. That is the mountain of God. He says, I will sit over them. I will rule over them. And that is what he has achieved. And that's what God says, fine. He made the man to be lower so that the devil will not have any excuse. You have a head start. You have a head start. I made him a little lower than you. Go and kill him. Run over him. And what do you see today? The Bible says their body is the temple of a living God. Is it not so? Good. If your body is the temple of a living God, then that means that God has also removed his hand. That my body can also be the temple of the devil, of demons. Because the Spirit says, when he goes through dry places, he doesn't see any place to go. What does he say? I will go back to my house. My dwelling place. Where I can have some refreshment. The word there is refreshment. The word says, he comes to you to have refreshment. He comes to you to have nourishment. Amen. As I always say, if I go to Uwere, the people I know in Uwere are these brethren. It's not the house I will go to. I will not go and start knocking at doors. I will go to where I know. So if a spirit has a cast out, there was a crusade in Abba, they cast out the spirit. It walks around. Don't you see any place? It's okay. Let me find the people I know. He will go up to the familiar spirit. The spirit of that one was cast out. He said, let me look for those of my family. At least they behave like me. They get angry like me. They lost after the things I lost after. The doors are open. They come. So it is the familiar spirits. Those are the basic ones that come to you. And because we have the same nature as them, they come in. And when they come, they're coming to be nourished by you. They come, okay, not by you, by me. They come so that I can nourish them and give them life. Meanwhile, I'm not aware that there is any such thing happening. The reason that I love the Lord. Oh Lord, I love you. Ooh, no problem. Wave your hand and get life. The man who wants the life will say yes. How many have you got today? Bring it, let us share. So, what we are doing is that we are feeding the spirits. That's what the Bible calls servile work. We are a servant. The spirits are dwelling in us and we feed them. Hallelujah. But the Bible says the land shall not be sold forever. Amen. There's no problem. I'm not ashamed that I have been feeding the devil. I'm not ashamed. I have agreed. I say, okay, God, let's do something about it. Amen. The man has to realize who he is, what he has been doing. God said, come, let us reason together. Yes, now. Hallelujah. And God says that when the trumpet of Jubilee begins to sound, you got me the Oga, I said, Oga, I thank you for you. You know the way I came to you. I thank God for you. If not for you, in fact, I'm dead. But there is something I want to tell you. Don't be annoyed. Amen. Don't be annoyed. If I had the choice, I would have stayed with you. But there is something that is happening inside me. I want to go back to my father's house. I want to go back to my father. Don't be annoyed. We can still be friends. But allow me to go back to my father's house. Amen. The trumpet of Jubilee is sounding. Hallelujah. And when you begin to hear it, you know it is time to go back to your habitation, to your inheritance. So the devil wants to rule, has the ability to rule. Now let's confirm it. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros, and say thus unto him. Say unto him, thus says the Lord, that sealeth up the psalm, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, and I have counted 10, the sardius 1, the topaz 2, diamond 3, the beryl 4, the onyx 5, the jasper 6, the sapphire 7, emerald 8, the carbuncle 9, and gold 10. So the devil has 10 stones. He has 10 stones. But a better way to say is he has 10 realms of glory. He has 10 realms of glory. Stones speak of glory. They speak of beauty. It speaks of light and other things. So, now, Psalm 8 says, you have made him a little lower than the angels. So, by deduction, it means man has 9 stones. And when you go to Revelation 12, it tells us that, Revelation 21, it tells us that there are 12 stones. So there are 3 additional stones that the man is supposed to get. Now, practically, what this means, if you don't mind the mathematics, now what this means, that the only way that I can obtain victory in Christ, victory over the devil, is to be in Christ. When you are in Christ, you are covered. But you see, that's not all of it. Let's read a little bit. We will see something spirits do. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub. Now, I mean, this is something I want you to know. And I will show you the practical example. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers. If you forget anything, don't forget this matter. Spirits bring a covering. Let me give you an example. When you have prayed, you have bound all the spirits that you like. Immediately you come out in the morning and you enter your car or you step out. What happens to you? You lose touch. The only thing you are aware of is that you are going to Abba, and that takes your mind.
You know what? There's a covering that comes on you. And the only time you remember, if you don't take an action, that you're a Christian is by 11 o'clock. When you now lie down on the bed. Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to pray today. Hey, Jesus, have mercy on your son. How have I have got to have I have fought and quarreled, done everything? And while you are fighting and quarreling, no thought coming to you that you are a Christian. What has happened to you? You have been covered. There's a spirit that has covered us. Hallelujah. So when, if you check the scriptures, you know, go home and study. Whenever a spirit comes to you, it must fill you and it must cover you. Because man is like a vessel. So the spirit comes to fill and to cover. Hallelujah. Amen. And the soul is like a womb. It's a vessel. Say, fill my cup, Lord. You know what you say. If the Lord doesn't fill your cup, another spirit will fill it. And not just filling, it will bring, it exercises a covering. Now, what are we saying? There are spirits that have covered the soul. There are coverings over the soul. Now, there are spirits at the four corners of the earth. What are they doing? They are bringing and exercising a covering over your emotions. And he told Abraham, come out from your tribe, is it not so? You come out from your family, is it not so? And then you come out from your nation. Now, those spirits exercise covering at those various dimensions. So if you want to overcome your emotions, it is not by willpower or January 1 resolution, this new year. The Lord is me and you. I've got to buy a new text Bible. I am going to study it. Immediately you finish praying, they say your father has died in the village. That's all. You just need a phone call that your father died in the village. Your text Bible and your village resolution is out of the window. How about we try this, brethren? We have tried. It's not the solution. The solution is that there is a spirit. I will still read that scripture to you. There is a spirit causing the problem. The source of your problem and the source of my problem is spirit originated. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. We'll come back to this. But let's read Hosea chapter 4. And then we will come back and get the proper functioning. Hosea chapter 4. I hope many of us still know where the book of Hosea is. The man called it Osi. He called it Osi. Okay. Osi chapter 4. Amen. Amen. Well, somebody noticed it. I noticed. For the past 20 minutes, our energy level has dropped. Amen. We are either distracted or we are sleeping or we're walking around. And it is spirit activity. It is religious spirit activity. Just at this point, that's when you want to sleep. Ease yourself. So let's be together. Amen. I felt that the flow of the spirit is dropped. Amen. So please let's be together. Let's keep our concentration. Verse 10, Hosea chapter 4, verse 10. No, so that's not the word. That's not. Sorry, let's go to. We'll read that one. Let's go to Hosea chapter 5. That's really the scripture. Hosea chapter 5, verse 4. We will read 4:11, but 5 verse 4 is the key, is the bull's eye. Hosea chapter 5 verse 4 says, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. Now, the problem is that the soul has to go back to God. The soul must go back into the garden. Amen. You must have access to light. That is the only salvation of the soul. The soul must turn back to God. But you see, if the soul goes back to God, then somebody has lost his energy source. The devil will lose his energy source. So he says, you will dust that. Say, upon the dust you will feed. So the dust is the energy of the devil, is it not so? For as long and until the dust says, no more food. Alright? Now, that's what he's saying here. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is where? Is where? Look at it now. The spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. This is the bull's eye. So all the devil needed to do was to smuggle himself into the spirit of man, to have dominion. Not that he's in there, but he has in a way knocked out the spirit of man and began to exercise dominion over the soul and dominion over the body. That's all he needs. He cannot touch the soul because the spirit is from God. So all he needs to do is to create a barrier between the spirit of God and the spirit of man, and the spirit of man becomes functionless. He doesn't need the spirit of man. That's God's business. The things that belong to God belong to God. What he needs is the soul. He wants your mind. He wants your emotions. He wants your body. And I was going to say that these spirits dwell in the body, and they break down the body. They are looking for life. So they give you cancer. They give you diabetes. They give you hypertension. They give you infections, create viruses, all those things. Those are ways of sucking the life from you. And when they finish, they kick you out and go for another one. I'll give you the scripture. When the Romans entered into Jerusalem, they heard that there was gold. The only place you could find gold was where? If you want gold in Jerusalem, where will you find it? You go to the temple. Outside the temple, on the walls, and inside was also gold. They said, praise God. They sat down. And they dug it stone by stone. And they melted all the gold and carried it away. So what happened? All the walls were destroyed. You are the wall of Jerusalem. Don't you understand? You are the, we are, me and you are the walls. There is gold in you. I know you think you are not of any value. Because the devil told you your life is of no value. Just drink and eat and behave anyhow. You are nothing. After all, you are a black man. You know so. And while you are doing that, he is digging down the foundations of your body. So we use our body anyhow. We see anything. We smell. And as you are smelling and touching, spirits are having access to the body. And how they function, as they enter, they bring more to join them. And what they do is to break down the body. And man has gone from 960 something down to how many? We're counting 40 now. HIV has reduced it further to around 45. The life expectancy of Nigeria is probably around 50. Is it 50? 45, 50. South Africa is about in the same range. In the European people, they are probably around 70. And they say they're big men. From 900 to 70, say you're a big man. What a deception. Hallelujah. The devil is working over time on the body. Say the devil has been cast down to the earth. So woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Because he has a short time. So, there will be more diseases. After this meeting, there will be more free spirits. You didn't hear what I said. After this meeting, there will be more free spirits cast out. They are going to be homeless. They are looking around. Do you know what they will do? They are going to plot the way they will come back. And when they come back, they say, when we enter now, No, we cannot make the same mistake. So we have to be very careful, brethren. That's why Prabhupada will say it's dangerous. Don't even try. Because when we try, we cause more problems for ourselves. So when they're coming with more viciousness. Because when they get in, they don't want to go out. Amen. So we must understand, these spirits dwell in the body and they will break down the body. So the church must rise. That's why we must pull together. That's why, you know, Brother Sam was sharing this today. Saul destroyed all the priests. Then when he had a problem, he didn't have any priest to consult. What was his option? He went to Babalawo. Please, sir. Before he got there, they said, hey, have you come? Hallelujah. So if we destroy our brethren, who will pray for you when problem comes? Amen. So let's throw down our stones and just forget it and, you know, just move on. Hallelujah. You know, so we are looking at the nature of this spirit, that it casts a covering over the soul. The soul is easily influenced. How many of us are easily influenced here? All the devil needs is to raise a strong personality around you and it starts overshadowing you. Hallelujah. I told my wife that in some places, that some sisters are overshadowing some fellowships. Don't be annoyed with me, or just girls by your side. The fellowship is not in Nigeria anyway, so at least the sisters here can relax. I said in some places, the sisters are overshadowing the fellowship. The fellowship is not going anywhere because the sisters are bagada. Overshadowing everywhere. And everybody's going around. Nobody wants to say anything. Eh? Nobody wants to say anything because they are there. Of course, in some places, brothers are also overshadowing. Amen. So it's a nature of the devil to cast a covering, to cast a shadow. Hallelujah. And when that happens, the soul follows. That's how they advertise, because they know that man is easily swayed. Amen. They start showing you red shoe, red shoe, red shoe, red shoe. Everybody starts buying red shoe. You don't, whether you like it or not, red shoe. Because that's the one you see on television, isn't it also? It's suggestibility. You know, they and all that. So that's by the side. So Hosea chapter 4 is saying, is telling us, he gives that spirit a name. Okay, so 5:4. He gives that spirit a name. We are about to land. We're not yet landed though. We are still building up. But he calls that spirit a name. What's the spirit or name of that spirit? Adams. That is my problem that I have to overcome. You know, so that is the spirit I have to overcome. The spirit of whoredoms. And where is that spirit operating? Not in my brother. Leave your brother alone. But you know, the spirit tells you, no, you are a fire brother. All these brothers in this fellowship, if they can only change, then the fellowship will be sweet. So every day you can fast, God, change all my brethren. Open their eyes to see the glory of the Lord. No problem. And the spirit is sitting quietly and growing fat. Amen. So the spirit of Adam is in the midst. Amen. And when you go to Revelation 14, it says something about that spirit. Okay? About the true virgin. About the wise virgin. But we will come there. Let's go back to Ezekiel 28. Let's go back to Ezekiel 28. We're just talking about the covering. The fact that we are covered. Now it says, thou art the anointed cherub. Has God taken away the anointing? Huh? The devil is still anointed. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are what? That without repentance. Amen. So he's the anointed cherub that covers. And I have set thee so. Thou hast walked up and down the holy mountain of God. Thou hast also walked upon, up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy days, from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. We can't talk about the stones of fire now, but that will probably come. It's not a foundation, so we'll just leave it. But what you're saying is that the devil has a place. He has an authority over the soul. And it's an authority that he is using very, very well. And you know what Ephesians says? That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against different dimensions and cadres of spirits. Some of them are new spirits coming. Their time has come. Their time hadn't come before, so they were stalled. And the more they were stalled, the more angry they were becoming. Amen. And they are hybrid spirits. They are hybrid spirits. They don't have any particular nature. You can't. And Daniel chapter 4 tells us about one of those spirits. So that this particular beast, there was no way to describe it. It had all the nature of the three beasts before it. And that it break down in pieces, tore down, changed times and laws. In the space of 30 years, when I was in UK in 1997, went back in 2011, and it was in a different country. Everything had changed. The United States was a very conservative country in the early 19th century, the early 20th century, 1919, 1920. And in the late 1920s, a few Satanists met together and they drew what they call the agenda. Say, how are we going to affect the society? He says, very, very well, very easy. We will promote pornography. We will promote women liberation. We will get into the schools. We will own the newspaper houses. We will own the television. We will own the media. We will sponsor politicians. We will promote anybody who is saying anything anti-God. Anything that will promote materialism, that will make them to have a loose life, we will promote them. So they began to form associations. And gradually, they began to push it. They had the sexual revolution. They had the women's revolution. They had the equalization. They said, man and woman are correct, are equal. The devil said, this is my opportunity. So, gradually, say, everybody is equal. Then HIV landed. They said, this is our heavy weapon. You know what they did? The homosexuals entered in through the HIV. They said, we are being discriminated. Before, while they were talking HIV, they were already on television that we are now endangered species. And before what is happening, gay rights is the dominant. How dare you talk about gay rights in America? And the church was sleeping. Now they want to wake up. How can you wake up? The game is over. So the devil has been masterminding and pushing. And then they use sports. We are going for jogging. So the man wants to go and buy gas. He wears pants. He wants to go and buy gas. Guess what is happening? Now, it has gone from pants, jogging pants, to dressing pants. From dressing pants to hot pants. So you go to America and every young girl is wearing hot pants, walking around. You say, God, Jesus. God, Jesus. How did it happen? It was gradual. It's not America alone. I thought it was America. I only landed Romola Road. I said, Jesus of Nazareth. They are wearing tights. The temperature is 30 degrees. And the young girl is wearing tights, no skirt, and walking along the street very bold. These are demons, spirits. And inside our fellowship. Hallelujah. We are holy sisters. But the spirit of whoredom is inside. So we are wearing the skin tight and hot pants inside the heart. Then when you go far from your parents, you say, hey, man was born to be free. You know what happens? That's what happened to our youths. So that we are wearing it inside, but outside we are wearing something else. Hallelujah. Okay, they say I should say hallelujah. Okay. So the reason is the spirit of whoredom. He says it shall change times and laws. So it's changing the way you dress. They call it culture. So they say, you know, the modern culture. Alright? So culture determines Christianity, not Christianity determining culture. So they found it upside down. And the end time church that managed to break in is out already. It's out. We're out. Because we've lost our foundation. The base of our consecration is gone. And you say women liberation. You can wear anything. It's cold. It's not cold in this country. People wear it is cold, minus 80, minus 40. If they even talk of it, you can even pardon them. Alright, but our own, it is not dry, it's not hot, it's not anything, it's not cold. So where are you dressing like that? I have an answer. The spirit of whoredom is driving us in that direction. So if you want to close the back doors, don't forget about this. Go inside the heart. Go to the heart and deal with the spirit of whoredom in the midst. And then you will see that you are free. You are taught to be free. You will see that the influences you have are not there. That they are out. Because the spirit that was causing you to do that, the power has been broken. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Revelation 18. Revelation 18. There was a scripture I was talking about. I said I will come back. I've forgotten that scripture. What was it? Hosea 4 and Revelation 14. Okay. Okay, we will come then. Please remind me if I forget. Revelation 14. But let's read 18. Please, can you put the interlinear on this? Let's look at do a little bit word study. We need to get into this verses 2 and 3 of Revelation 18. Because that's the dining table. This is the dining table of the back doors. The interlinear. No, Revelation 18. Who is there? Okay, good. Okay, can you show us 2 and 3? Just go up one notch. Okay, so let's look on the board and let's read together. He says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is falling, it's falling. Now, yesterday we said, this Babylon cannot be the natural Babylon. Okay, that one is just a pointer to the reality. So it says, Babylon the Great is falling, it's falling, and it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So now, remember, this is opposite to Zion, where you have clean spirits, good spirits. Amen. And when we gather together, Zion gathers with us. Are you aware of that? The good spirits, the spirits of just men, be made perfect. Some of them are sent to us as ministering spirits. Sometimes you feel help. Amen. God sends a good spirit to you. Amen. To minister to you. Amen. Is this false doctrine? Sometimes you see a young man stop on the road. Say, yes, where are you going to? You get into the car. Maybe a car stops somewhere. You say, you see one man coming. He say, can I help you? Then before you know what, you don't know how it happens and he disappears. He's run away. You don't need to know. Amen. So those that, so we are interacting with Zion. Zion is with us all the time. And they cover us. The Bible says that he make it, that the angels of God make a dwelling. It's not so round about them that fear him. Amen. So you have the two. Now, he says that these spirits are there. Now, let's go to verse 3. For he says, for all nations, and this is the word, ethnos. Okay? For all nations have drunk. And I will have explained that this nation, well, you can take it to be America and Nigeria, but it is more than that. It is speaking of the nations of the souls. It is speaking of the different realms. We talked about those realms yesterday. There are three realms. The realm of the sea, that is the unsaved nations. The unsaved souls all over the world make up the realm of the sea. And then you have a higher dimension, which is the realm of the earth, where you have the religious congregations, including us too, those who have been saved. But who still have a nature of the dragon, a little bit of darkness in them, still operate at that point. Then you have the nations of those who are in heaven. Some of us are in or out. We are in or out. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. You get too tired. Say amen now. Amen. Amen. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're tired. So it says, for all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That is a very technical translation of that Greek. So when you read it, you don't really get what it is saying. Okay, so we're going to take it word by word. I think some people are getting tired. I'm not going to stop. The brain knows that. So whether if you get tired of it, it will solve a problem. You only prolong the time. So just wake up so that we'll finish this thing, then we can go. So think, if you think that by giving by, they know that, brother know that we, the highest, somebody has already told me, we'll stop and sing some, I will continue. So don't think that, getting tired and feeling, it's not doing anything, no. Because if you are sharing $1 million here, you will stay here till 6 o'clock. Oh, you so leave the matter, leave all this, let's get strong. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go to the board. So we are doing the word study. Now, we are going to break it down word by word to get what God is saying. So let's take the most important word. The word they have translated wrath is the Greek word tumos. Alright? So put your mark on that tumos. No. The next one, note. Touch it. Now, what does tumos mean? The Englishmen were afraid. That's what I saw. They were afraid. Because they didn't understand what they were. I said, what is all this word I see? When they saw the reality, they said, no, it cannot be true. So they took the least
And the most comfortable translation is what they put there. It also means rot. But rot is an old English word. The English people here will tell us. It's an old English word. Okay? That speaks of violence. Alright? So that word is saying, go up now. It says, passion. I see breathing hard. Have you been angry before? I said, okay. They say, take a deep breath. The anger goes there. You know what they tell us? Those who go for a positive schools, you read the books now, positive living. You take a deep breath. You control yourself. The fast breathing comes down. Look at it. Fierceness, indignation, wrath is there. But you see, it misses the issue. And what it misses is what? The word passion. So let me ask you, what is the dining table of Babylon? What is the dining table of Babylon? What is the devil offering your soul? Let's go back to the word now. The soul has lost, doesn't have any more life coming from God. Man must be happy. Man must be happy. Someone said, man must work. There's no life coming from God. And you say the man should just stay like that. The man must look for passion. So television has come in. Video has come in. Football, Arsenal has come in. What's the other one? Talk now. DSTV has come in. Which other one? Season 1, season 2, season 4 has come in. Tiger Woods has come in. Basketball has come in. What are all these things addressing? Passions. Fast food has come in. So what does the devil give you? Passion. When you work, the more money you have, the more your power to do what? To purchase passions. So you work harder. So that you can have more money to buy all the passions your soul desires. Now, let's take it slowly. Now, Matthew, he says something. He said, how many birds do you know who have a farm? Do you know anybody that bird that has a farm? Why doesn't the bird have a farm now? How will it eat? Who feeds the bird? She said God feeds the bird. Really? Bird doesn't have a farm, but he eats. Don't you understand? Bird doesn't have a farm, but it eats. Okay, now let's come the right way. When you eat, from which part of your body do you put the food into your body? Where is it? Is it in your leg you eat? Oh yeah, very soon we'll go eat, then you bring your leg and you start eating the food. Where do you eat from? It's in the head. It's in the head. The mouth is in the head. Yes, you see, the mouth is in the head. So the problem of your body is in your mouth. Hallelujah. So God said, no problem. I will behead your head. I will cut your head off. Now, when your head is cut off, how would you eat? No, you eat by getting another head. You get a new head. And that is the mind of Christ. So, every bride must be beheaded. That means you lose the ability to procure for yourself passions. That's what it means to be beheaded. You lose the ability to procure passions for yourself and for myself. Hallelujah. So is God going to use knife and start cutting? Well, sometimes it may happen. But there's a more skillful way of doing it. Amen.
So if you want to do it, go to where the problem is. The problem is in the desire and in the emotions. So the appetite must change. The appetite must change. The appetite must change. Now, my appetite cannot change without my will. Do we say, I don't agree. I don't agree. This DSTV, that's where my life is. That's where I get my life. And you're saying change appetite. I won't agree. So the will is stubborn. I must be broken. The will must be broken. And that's what you, that's why you must come to the golden altar. The golden altar, four square, four sides, one cubit each. Hallelujah. And there are horns. That's piece of the power. The energy. Hallelujah. And he told Moses, say, look, when you come to the golden altar, you shall not bring a sin offering there. You shall not bring a drink offering there. The offering that you bring there is what? The offering of the incense. The incense speaks of the soul power. Amen. Many of us have excesses. Not many of us. I have excesses. I have a lot of excesses. The excesses must be offered to God. The excesses are represented by the fat. So when they bring the peace offering, one of the things you must offer is the inward and the fat. You bring the fat and you give it to God. The fat speaks of the excesses. And many of us will have a lot of excesses, a lot of fat that has grown up and not offered to God. And that is the call of God to, for us to come to that place where we can offer our excesses to God. Now, it is not as easy as I'm saying it, because the wine of Babylon is strong. And the Bible says that no man, having drunk the new wine, does what? Desires. Quickly desires the new. Okay? Because he's used to the old wine. Brethren, we are used to feeding ourselves. What are we feeding ourselves with? Do you pay to see? When you want to look, do you pay? Do you pay money to look? It's free. It's very, very free. And we have been looking. And as we look, we are defiled. We have been hearing. As we hear, we are defiled. We have been tasting, touching, smelling. You know, we are interacting, and as we are doing that, we are populating our souls. And we are getting defiled. And then, once in a Sunday, we come out here, Isaac shout, amen. Hallelujah. I think after 12 hours, we'll go and rest now. We hear shout every day. After 2 hours, you guys sit down. Amen. When I finish, we praise God. We are all just sons of God. We shall all make it. When you get there, you wait for me. I will come and meet you there. Isn't that what you are saying? Well, the Bible says there are wise virgins and foolish virgins. The people that will make it are the wise virgins. All the wise virgins will make it. The foolish virgins are not going to make it though. And me, I'm begging, I say, God, I want to be among the wise. It's not a matter of begging. It is a matter of action. The spirit of whoredoms must be addressed. Now, this is the spirit that drives us into passions. And to present ourselves in a way that we can receive more passions. Amen. Say amen now. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have just looked at one word. Yeah, which kind of law is this one?
Okay, I'm going to take it back. Okay, amen. Okay, so we have seen. So the wine of the wrath, so actually means the wine of the passion. Okay, of her fornication. So what is this word, fornication? What is it talking of? You know, it means interaction, intimacy. Now, who are we having intimacy with? With spirits. How many people love God in this place? How many people are intimate with God? You and God are very intimate. Is it not so? Who is God? God is a spirit. So if you are intimate with a spirit, not only with one spirit, we will be intimate with every kind of spirit. So yes, we love God. We open our hearts to God. It is in the same way that we also open our souls to other spirits. That is the fornication. That is it. So we receive life from them and we give them life. Amen. That's what he calls harlotry. He said, Israel is my wife, is my bride. But she has gone ahead after other gods, after other spirits. Okay? So, and you know, fornication, the passions that go with it, it's something that drives the world. And in the occult, in the lodge, and by the way, lodge is very popular in Port Harcourt now. It's coming up to 80%. I don't know how you can get a contract now without signing paper. Whether it's oil company or law practice or my brother who is a private practitioner, is difficult. Because at the end of the day, they'll give you 1 million, 2 million. But when you reach the heavy ones, at the last moment, they say, excuse me. You enter one room, they put the paper, say yes. Nogri say, what? You know, Nogri, what are you doing here now? Like my friend, get away. They call down now and say, paper, I'll sign. And you see, so people are getting along, and you know, so they're joining the cult. And in the occult, one of the basic things they do is what they call sacramental fornication. Now, most of the music stars, their music is well. I want to use the word, it's well salted with spirits. The music is salted with spirits. When you hear it, your heart is doing, as you are doing like this, the spirits are entering. Yes. My children told me Beyonce has an alternate nature. Is it not so? Where are the youth people now? Beyonce has an alternate personality. Is it not true? What is the alternate spirit? What is the... They are telling you alternate personality. You say free, free, free with your mouth. Look at it now. There's a spirit of hot dumps that she has. Why do you think she's always naked? Has the spirit a long time. Hallelujah. All every show must be done in nakedness. Hallelujah. Because she's transmitting, that transmitting spirits. You know, they were showing Girade, the most popular personality in the world. Who is the most popular personality in the world? Guess who? Yeah, is it only me that knows these things? Lady Gaga is the most followed on Twitter. Lady Gaga has the highest followership on Twitter. Lady Gaga. You know who is Gaga? She has gone Gaga. What is she selling? What is she selling? What is she selling? She's a merchant. She's a merchant. And the people who go to her are also merchants. Buying and selling. Say, now no man buy. That man, that is a no soul may buy or sell. What are they buying? It's fashion. You want entertainment. Hallelujah.
And she's the most popular. She's even more popular than Obama. Obama is coming a distant fourth. The Pope is just struggling. Hallelujah. The world has turned around. And they say they are now on top. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is the dining table of Babylon. Lust and whoredoms. And how do you get engaged in lust and passion? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Amen. Those are the gates of hell. Hallelujah. So if you want to deal with the back doors, you go to the foundation, to the spirits of whoredoms that is working from within. Amen. Of course, they say yes. If you look in yourself, each one of us will have particular and peculiar weaknesses. Is it not so? Just like there are 12 doors into the kingdom, you can follow any door. Amen. To come into the kingdom. God can use any ministry to bring you. The same thing with the devil. There are some specific doors that he has established in our lives. We know it. You call it besetting sin. But the Bible calls it the back door. Amen. You know, when you are going to have epilepsy, brother, they know, the doctors, they know, there is the aura. You feel it. Some of them, there's a smell, they perceive. So it grows. And before long, before the body starts shaking. That's how the besetting sin comes. I'm talking from my own experience, not from you people. My own. Amen. And when it comes, I know there is trouble. I say, God, there is trouble in Zion. Because there is problem coming. Because the spirit follows the track. There's a channel that makes for itself. It has consecrated a doorway. Hallelujah. Say amen now. The spirit has consecrated. Didn't Jesus consecrate a door into the holiest of all? The spirit has consecrated another door for itself. That door may even include you are going to university. Because it's building you up for something. You may know book like me. Because my problem is my mind. You want to know everything. Obama coughs, you want to know. Obama sleeps, you want to know. You want to know how many Obamas there are. How many colors there are. What is your problem? And that is the doorway the devil causes. So he said, this one, his problem is the mind. Let's catch him from the mind. Hallelujah. So when it comes to anything, you know, I used to smell newspaper from my room. When I'm in my house, I just smell the paper. The thing is very, very far, but I'm smelling it from my room. I called and said, God, buy a guardian for me. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Bro, I'm telling you about myself. Oh. I'm smelling guidance from my room. Hallelujah. Quiet time must end because guardian has landed. Anything God is saying, let me just wait. Let me finish my guardian. Say, God, I'm not ready to come back. It's okay now. Since you have followed your guardian, I'm not interested again. Amen. You know yourself. And you know the things that must go. Hallelujah. God said, give me the guardian. If I give you the guardian, I will not be a human being again. Really. Because there is a particular taste. There's a particular image in my mind that I have built. The devil has built up. I said, this is the image of who you are. Amen. But I'm not a correspondent or guardian. They don't even pay me. They don't even know I exist. Hallelujah. So I must arise and go back to my father's house. So you have to deal with it. So there are things that you have built up. There are mannerisms you have built up. There are friendships you have built up. There are attitudes you have built up. You have set it up. This is the way I operate. When I want to relax, this is what I do to relax. Amen. When I want to have a good time, this is what I do to have a good time. Amen. And who dare touch it? say he's a preacher or brother. Amen. In the house of God, we all have liberty. We are all the sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and God is saying, we have that liberty when we want to be foolish virgins. But if we want to be wise virgins, then we must deal with these ancient doors. So these doors are passed down from generation to generation. They're in the blood. By the way, the devil has access to the blood. Do you know that? He has access to the genes. Now, they find that every disease has a genetic origin. It's in chromosome so-and-so. It's in sub-chromosome so-and-so. It's in region so-and-so. It is in intron so-and-so. They break it down to the amino acids. Even beyond the abundance, you break it down, you begin to go into the atom and electrons. Now they have found more things inside the atom. The devil is still going down. Hallelujah. But even if the devil makes his hiding in the rock, God will go beyond it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there's a blood. Blood also. That is also coming to the soul. Hallelujah. So we must bring it. We must bring that offering to God. I say, God, this is who I am. This is what makes me. They told Samson, what is your energy? He said, this is me. This is my energy. If you take it, I am gone. Also, there is something that makes us tick. There is a passion that we love. And we are saying, God, if you take away this passion, I will be a wise virgin. Amen. If you take this passion away, then you have me. And it is something we must tell God. It's an offering we must bring to God. God say, this is my strength. This is what I enjoy. And God asks him, what is your name? Say, my name is Legion. For we are many. Amen. And not just Legion and Mary. We have been in this body a long time. Someone said, we have been riding this machine for a long time. Do you know you are a machine? Oh yes, the devil has been riding the machine. If you go to Ezekiel 1, he said there were four wheels. There are four wheels. There is an aspect of the wheel which is good. You see, this table has four wheels, four rings. It can become wheels to give you strength to break through the veil. So Elijah saw chariots, saw wheels in the spirit that gave him strength to be carried. Do you understand? There's a strength God is bringing. There's a strength he is bringing to us. And that is what is going to strengthen us to break through the veil. These things that cover us, that say this is where you are, you must abide there. You need a strength. And it is the word of the Lord. The Bible says that the word of God converted the soul. Now, the devil grunts ahead of us. He goes to say, no, don't listen to doctrine, don't listen to preaching. We have heard too much. Really? Really? Yeah, some people, they are deceived. Say, let me stay in my house. I've heard too much and I've not changed. You have been hearing the voice of man. You have not heard the voice of the Lord. Because the voice of the Lord will change you. He said that as many as will hear the voice of the Lord, if they are in the grave, what will happen? They will be raised up. So if you have been hearing and you are not changed, then you have been hearing the words of man. You have been hearing the doctrines of devils. The doctrine of end time denomination. You know, that's the new, the latest denomination in town. The end time denomination. Hallelujah. If you are hearing their doctrine, you will not change. You will not book. But your soul will be dry. Hallelujah. But if you hear the word of the Lord, you will be changed. Hallelujah. And because the word of God comes with strength. It's called the seventh trumpet. It says, when the seventh trumpet begins to sound, we shall be changed. Because that trumpet is light coming into your soul. That is what happened on the fourth day of creation. On the fourth day, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars to rule over the darkness. When God gives you a word, He gives you energy to deal with a specific darkness in your soul. So you are fighting with a besetting sin. You need a word from God. And it is a burst of energy. When that light comes in, it judges the darkness. It doesn't argue with the darkness, because the light shines in darkness and the darkness is broken. Amen. So it says the entrance of His word bringeth light. Amen. So if I want to be changed, guess what I will do? I come to the word. I say, God, I have come now. Bring your word. I open my soul. As the word is coming, I am changing. I'm applying the word. I'm applying it, pushing it there, pushing it there. Amen. Because my salvation is in the word. Don't you understand? The word, this is an instrument of change. The lampstand, this is the wine and this is the oil. The oil and the wine will bring you to a place where your soul can be offered. Amen. The purpose of the altar court is to receive the soul and bring the soul to a place of covenant. What the soul is saying is that I agree I will be a bride of Christ. I agree to forget the world. I agree to lose my life. I agree that Christ will be the head. That's why you go through these experiences. The purpose of the holy place is to prepare the soul for three functions. Those three functions are in the holiest of all. We're not even talking of it. Those three functions are the functions, and they're represented by the three things in the ark. We're not even going there yet. The lampstand and is to prepare the soul to be a bride, number one. To prepare the soul to be a king, number two. And to prepare the soul to be a priest. Those are the three work purposes and functions of the holy place. So if you are there and you want to make it a denomination, they drive you out. And that's what happened to us. We got there and began to make an end-time denomination. He said, no problem. Out. And we are out now. We are just grouping around. God said, well, you can come back again. But when you come back, you know why you are there. You are here to prepare the soul. Because the soul must go back to function as a bride of Christ. To function as the priest of Christ. And to function as a joint heir, as a king. To rule and to reign with Christ over the nations. Amen. That is our call. That is the vision. That is the vision of why we are called. It's not to say that in our church, you share, I share. Or that in our church, we don't have a pastor. It's body ministry, so everybody is free. Anytime I want to say anything, I go out and say it. That's why I like this church. So when you are there, you are struggling with manufacturing your doctrine. Let me just finish talking. Let me go and talk my own too, because everybody has liberty in our church. Is that not what we have been doing? Hallelujah. Well, that was when we were children. We speak as a child. We behave like children. Hallelujah. But when we became men, as we are becoming men, what do? We need to put aside childish things. Hallelujah. We come to the place where we are known. We know as we are known. And we see through the glass clearly. No more darkness. No more faces. No more shadows. Hallelujah. The wall is breaking down. Because we are coming into the reality of who we are. Amen. So that is the dealing of the dining table, of the feeding of the soul. So this soul is being fed. So the soul functions as a merchant. It's buying passion. It needs entertainment. It needs pleasures. And the only place you can get it is from the realm of the earth. So that's why many of us are carnal. So it says the
that the carnally minded person, you know, is filled with all his ways. It's an enmity with God. And that those who mind earthly things, that they are carnal. So the mind is in the realms of the earth, instead of being opened up to God. And one of the things we must do in this camp is, so we need to, each of us, go back, you know, and begin to address the issues, these back doors, the passions that we're involved in. And for me, it means a new lifestyle. It means a new culture. It means everything is going to change. Everything must come under review. My friendships, the things I do, everything is going to come under review. And I'm doing that knowing that there are spirits, I'm sorry about that, but there are spirits dwelling in me that I have invited in. For them to go out, they need my permission. God cannot drive any spirit out of you if we do not give him permission. Guess, do you know what the scripture says? That he cast out the spirit by the word of his mouth. Do you understand? As the ministry of the word is going, spirits are being cast out by the word of his mouth. Amen. So, there's no spirit that can tell you that, to say, well, I have come here, I cannot go out. It's not true. However, some will not go out except by fasting and by prayer. And when you pray, what you do is that you cut off, it helps you, you cut off the openings in the flesh. By the way, there is something that God has provided to close these back doors. I'm not going to deal with it now, just mention it. And it's called wisdom. Proverbs 8. Say, I, wisdom, I stand at the gates. Amen. And he says, the principal spirit is wisdom. I see many people are feeling sleepy. I think we have achieved something. We're not quite there yet, but we have gotten somewhere. So I think we are going to stop. I get at some point there will be questions. We can go back and touch some of the things. Now I know some of the things we are looking at are things we know already. Some of them may be new. And because it's like something new, we will have to go over them over and over. As God gives us opportunity, we will talk about it. But see, there's something the Bible teaches us. It says that the clean animal does something. What does it do? It chews the cud. You are taking notes. You are taking notes, isn't that so? Go back and look at your notes. Sit with God. Say, let's look at this matter. Look through. Nobody is going to follow you to say, look the notes. Some of us did not take notes. They say it's 10%. Do you know it's 10%? In the next 10 minutes, 10% will remain. Of everything I have said, only 10% will remain. Well, if you have a question of rejecting, that is human nature. It's only 10% you will retain. Okay. They said they rejected. No problem. No problem. But if it is 10% you reject, what do you retain? What do? It means you have to go and look at what you wrote. Because you know what is in man. That the man is porous. The heart is hard. So the man must go back, make time. And if they tell you, if you go and study these 5 points, when you come to collect $10 million, they ask, what are the 10 points? Would anybody remind you to go and study? Is anybody that will remind any child here? You, if I start talking now, you are in front here, writing down everything because you want to get $10 million. This one, you are offering you something much more than that. There has to be an effort. You must go and burn the oil and go before God and say, God,
Let's look at this thing again. And then, of course, when God gives us opportunity, we will go over it. Amen. Now, this is the way of the bride. If you want Pentecost, don't bother with this. I hear they have a meeting in Asiboro Park. Osubo, Osubo. You can go and wave hand there, you get it. 10 ways of making money. You go to there, you get it. You are in the wrong place. But you want to be a bride, then you have to sit down. There's a dealing of God. There's a processing. Amen. Amen. So don't be disappointed. We're not telling you about money. We don't even want your money. They told somebody that money perish with you. You and your money perish. Hallelujah. Amen. We are looking at the soul. The salvation of the soul. Amen. So these are principles that we need to go back, look at, teach in our families, teach in our fellowships. When we gather together, we teach it, we talk about it. And in looking at it, God will even give you more. Amen. He will show you more when you go back. You know, Moses saw the burning bush, you know, so he said, I will turn aside to look at this picture. And when he got there, he ended up in Egypt. Amen. So, God is opening the door. When you follow it, I'm telling you, you'll be surprised at what you're going to get. So, we need to go back and chew the cud. Ask questions. Don't just accept it. Ask questions. Question it. Go to God. Why is this so? Why is this not so? And let it trickle down. Let it. And then walk in it. But I'm going to give you a challenge. It's a challenge. 1 week. The challenge of 1 week. Walk in this for 1 week. If you are the same, if you remain the same, 1 week. I was going to say 1 day. Well, they said this brother. Well, let's just say 1 week. Walk in this for just 1 week. If you are the same, if you are the same, then know that God is not God. Amen. If you try it and you are the same after 1 week, then God is not God. It won't even take you 1 week. Just 1 day alone, you will be seeing the difference in your body. You will see the fire burning in your body. Just 1 day of walking in these principles. Amen. Amen. Okay, there's a question. Yes. Okay. She's asking if there we can throw light of how we can address a particular passion to show some light. There are several examples. Okay? Now, one scriptural example is a man called Samson. We were looking at it on Sunday. Okay, now Samson is an example of a man ruled by his passion. Now, you have to understand, the characters in the Bible have been put there to show you how a particular trait in the soul is manifested and dealt with. I don't know if you understand. When you are a researcher, you have to follow, you know, when we work, we follow an idea. You follow an idea, you have to let it run. You have to, you know, you see the line, you see the beginning and you see the end. So in the Bible, there are specific vessels in whom God has allowed certain traits to manifest and has shown us the beginning and the end of that trait. Are you with me? And Samson is an example of a Pentecostal man that's called to be a Nazarite but giving to his passions. And the Bible tells us from his beginning to his end. He did not actualize his vision. He did not actualize his call. He broke all the tenets of his consecration as a Nazarite. But he still performed mighty works. Isn't also? He killed many Philistines, which represents the flesh. So when it suits him, he goes to God. and Spirit of God moves him in the camp. The majority of the time, where was he? Passions. He was going from one passion to the other. Alright? Now, the Bible also gives us examples of other men who had even worse passions than Samson. And they dealt with it. One is David, isn't it also? How many wives did David marry? Huh? How many wives did his son marry? Okay, so I should stop counting. It's the same thing. Anointed of the Lord. Do you understand? The same passion. God allowed it to run. In fact, that one even shows us different generations until they reached the life of one young man called Jesus. They surrounded him with women. And they went and put a CIA man inside. So the CIA man working in the midst of Jesus to make sure the information cannot be quenched. Amen. And he was tempted in all points. And he overcame. Amen. So how did he overcome? The Bible tells us. He said, if the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus dwell in us. The answer. Now, so the same spirit, where do you find that spirit? In the lampstand. The lampstand is made from one lump of gold. And the Bible says that he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. So there's a flow of life. The head supplies the body. The head must feed the body. And Christ Jesus is the head. And we are the body. So if you say you are in the body and you don't have life, you are not in the body. Don't you understand? You are a church member. That's how you know. You say every day, Christ, Christ, leave Christ alone. Do you have life? How you know those who are in Christ that they are fed by the head? So that he nourished and what? Cherished what? His body. The bride of Christ can never lack. They have life. They have access to life. Amen. There's another woman. She was going from one husband to the other. What was she looking for? Don't you understand? The woman said, this one you are is with the fifth husband. Bunker crusade, no life. T.L.S. Bunker crusade, no life. Billy Graham crusade, no life. Ozubo, no life. No life. Everyone, Bororum, no life. I won't mention their names on TBN, no life. They are going from program to program, no life. It's not program to program, it is connecting to the head. When you connect to the head must feed the body. That's how you know you are in the body. If not, you are a church member. And if you're a church member, you have to feed yourself. Is it not so? If you want to feed, you have to receive the mark. The mark of the beast is a license to buy and sell passions. Don't you understand? And when you receive the mark, you must worship. You must serve those spirits. Any spirit you worship, you serve. And you do servile work. And you say, on the day of atonement, no man is allowed to do servile work. It's a day of rest. Hallelujah. We must come into the rest of God. Christ is the rest. So this is a rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Hallelujah. When you are weary from walking, looking for lives, there is a place of rest. Say, show me where you feed their flock at noon. At the heat, height of noon, there's a place where there's a shade, where life is given. Amen. So the scripture tells us how to deal with it. So there's one spirit. It is the spirit of Christ. So if the same spirit that was there is in you, the same spirit will do what? Will quicken your mortal body. So what does it mean practically? What does it mean to be connected to the spirit of Christ practically? It's very practical. And I showed it yesterday. The connection between the spirit and the soul is the mind. So if you want to overcome, keep your mind free. The brother was saying it, that the channels are all blocked. Do you know there's a channel, there's a piping from you to the Spirit of God? That's what he showed Zechariah. Showed him a lampstand with pipes. Is it not so? There was a pipe flowing. What you see there is just one version. There's another version in Zechariah where there are pipes. There's a pipe. But the pipe can be blocked by carnality, by spirit that blocked it. So, because if you receive life, then you'll be strong and cast them out. So they will go and block it. So if you want to receive life, you must decontaminate yourself. And he says, one thing I always do, I have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. And Brother Sam dealt with it yesterday. If you are binding your brethren and you are talking of Christ, just go and sit down. You're not Christing anywhere. Because the channel is blocked. You must have a conscience void of offense. Amen. The Bible calls it the day of your release. After 7 years, it's a year of release. Even before the year of Jubilee, every 7 years, you must release your captives. The things clogging up the mind, you must deal with it. Confession. Repentance. You know? Cleaning up your relationship. It's trespass offering. That's what you deal with at the burnt offering. You bring the trespass offering between you and your brother. You deal with it. Go to your brother and say, brother, let's deal with this thing. And you'll get it done. You go to your, whatever, wherever has to be done. You remove all those encumbrances. And then let your mind be free. The things that clog up your mind, you know the things that take your time. You get them out. You pay the price. You get them out. The programs that take your time, the things that, you know, all those things, you get them out. It's a consecration. If you don't consecrate, you cannot come in here. This is a place where you receive the oil. So you must pay the price, then you go in. Okay. So the priest must wash at the brazen laver before he goes in. So many of us, we are unclean and we want to go in. We can't go in. So we must come as priests to the place where we are consecrated. Now the question, who is the priest? The priest is the mind. The number one priest is the mind. Your mind is the priest. The devil tells you the priest is one reverend with white collar. It's not true. The priest is your mind. And in our minds, we have unforgiveness. We have bitterness. We have anger. We have all kinds in our minds. How then is Christ coming to feed you with anger? So, if you want to overcome, you must go and deal with issues. You know, Brother Bella was talking about who was that man that gave the Ahithophel? He was the counselor. But he had an offense against David. Because David did something to his niece. He said, don't worry, one day I will catch you. But that was his downfall. Because when they rejected his counsel, the man said, no, I can't take it. He went and hung himself. So that's what an offense can do. An offense comes from a seed that has not been addressed. It's lying down there, dormant. The day it will wake up, nobody will tell you. It won't even give you warning. It lands. And it's okay, time. This is my time. So the Bible says you have to search yourself. I have to search myself. Is there anything I have not dealt with? Then I must deal with it. And then when those things are there, then my mind is free. You know, we haven't had time to look at the seven spirits of God. You know, and that is the spirit that is ministered to our soul through the mind. And when they come, that's what enables us to overcome. So practically, if we want to overcome, then we have to clean up our minds. Because the mind is the connection. We must clean up our minds. Praise God. Okay.
I occasionally get frightened for some of the statements you made, that the end time movement has gone just like the Pentecostal has gone. As it is still bad, because I know it's not even more than 3 months I started hearing of the end time assembly. To have gone the way Pentecostal went, please put me through, sir. Thank you.
Amen. 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 You know, the answer is what we found in the book of Ezra. You know, in Ezra, where they built the foundation of the house, the old men were weeping, the young men were rejoicing. It's good to rejoice. But those who were weeping because they knew what the glory of the old house was. And they were crying. So, I'm one of those, well, if you pardon me, I'm one of those old men that we are weeping. Amen. So, we thank God for you because you are born in Zion. Amen. So, please continue to rejoice and run with the zeal that you are running with. Amen. Because God is visiting Zion again. Hallelujah. Okay, so those statements are to the old, to stir us up, so that we know from where we have fallen, so that we can make amends. Amen. The new ones, you are born in Zion, God is giving you a new foundation. I wish I was here many years ago. Is it not so, brethren? We would have done it better. So we have made so many mistakes, so many unnecessary enemies, so many things that were not necessary. And we have to go back. We are struggling to correct many mistakes of the past. Hallelujah. So what you call the end time movement, well, it's just something that God is doing. It's a trumpet that's blowing. The Feast of Trumpets, the first feast of the seventh month, to say move beyond Pentecost, move forward. That's the trumpet. You hear it. But it doesn't end with the trumpet. There is action. Then you have to break up the parallelogram, the spirits that are in here, you have to drive them out. That's where there is action. And when we got there, we turned back. Say, no, we're not ready to drive these spirits out. Because when they got to the promised land, the Amorites were there. They say, yes. They had houses, mountains. They had chariots of iron. God said, fine. You want their land? You kill them. And you possess. They say, no, we are grasshoppers. God said, no problem. They are grasshoppers. Then you are out. And God put them aside and began a new generation. That was happening to us. When London, one brother said, I won't mention his name. He said, for the past 20 years, we have not heard any trumpet. We've been going around the circles. Those of us who were a little bit old, we looked and we said, God, have mercy on us. Let us hear a new trumpet. Hallelujah. It's in silence. But we thank God, for God is visiting his people again. Amen. And this time we cannot miss it. Because I don't know if we have time for another chance. Amen. So brother, it is an expression of a weary soul, of an anguished soul. I'm just lamenting for what has befallen us. Because there are many corpses along the road. The casualty rate has been very, very high. Very, very high. So we don't want to get into others. So that is the thing. So we're not called to a movement. We are called to a life. And we will break up this veil. These spirits that are here, we have to cast them out. We have to change. So if you make it a denomination, make it a movement, you miss the whole thing. And you know, man likes movement. Okay, so we're not going there. It's something that you have to live in and walk in. Praise God. Okay, that's secret. Okay, brother, just...
Brother Chokes, this, I know there are a lot of questions in the hearts of people. I will just... This question is like a leading statement, and it will bring out so much from what you're saying. Now, how do we relate this to the creation time? You know, man did not have a problem. And then how do we relate it to the time of the fall? And how do we apply it at the time of salvation? You are talking about the soul. It is so broad. And I know there are a lot of questions in our hearts. And I might be careful to say that it's not everyone that is here that is born again. So how do we apply this in a daily living, in our soul, pertaining to that which is done in salvation, so that we can come out of this thing? How do we apply this to our mind, our soul?
Very simple.
Praise the Lord.
Very simple. As you said, it's very complex. We're just trying to build the foundation. Now, the first thing the devil did was that he told us that the message about the tabernacle is old-fashioned. That's the first thing we lost. We lost the burden for the word about the tabernacle. And we began to preach other things. So, Brother Joshua, that is the answer. The tabernacle, the teaching on the tabernacle, is the practical day-to-day work of the soul from Babylon or from darkness into anywhere you call it, whether it's the holiest of all or holy of holies or garden or cherubim, anything you like. It is the work of the tabernacle. And if you read from Matthew to Genesis, everything that is written based on the tabernacle. Go to Revelation, it talks about the altar. Which altar is he talking of? He talks about the temple. Which temple is he talking of? So, the tabernacle is a practical guide. But the devil had to attack it. He attacked it in this country. They said I shouldn't talk. They said, "Make I don't talk. So I won't talk." But it was attacked in this country. That's the first thing the devil did. He knocked it out and diverted our attention from that message. Because we found a substitute. We began to preach all kinds of things. And before long, even now, the judgment is in our children, because our children don't know the tabernacle. So when our children are married, their marriage is worse than that of the Pentecostal. When we do our own child dedication, it is worse than those people who are in the outer courts. I talk like. Because the children, even the wives were married, the wife hasn't heard tabernacle. Then you wake up in the night and say, tie what? I think I see that. Yes. So we lost the message. I speak the truth. We lost the message. We rejected it. So, the way back is to go back. That's why, if you throw me up and down, it's the only thing I will tell you is tabernacle. You must lay the foundation. So, when we go back, let us start the work again. Let's start the work again. We need to teach it. We need to talk about it. In our homes, in our fellowship, talk about it. Someone say, "I want to talk about marriage for me." Go to the tabernacle. Everything there is marriage. You want to talk about resurrection? If we start here, everything there is resurrection. Anything you want. You want to talk about motivation? Motivation. Go to the tabernacle. You see motivation. Is there any subject at all? Is there in the tabernacle? It's so complete. But everybody knows, I have been teaching tabernacle since 1989. And each time I have done it is different. Each time it's different. There has not been one that is the same.
Go and check. It can't be. This divinity is so deep. Every day you are seeing more light, more light, more light, more light. And you say it's not relevant. So that is the truth, brother. So we need to go back to where we have fallen. The righteous man will fall. I rise. Me, I fell. I stopped preaching it too. God knocked me on the head. I said, okay, I'll go back. It is not a shame to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry is what a nobleman says. You go to God and say, I'm sorry. I missed it. It's a fine. Brother Sam said, if God gives you a message, you reject the message, you're not going to get another message. You know so? If God, you can't kill all the priests. When you need a priest, you won't find any. So God gave us a specific message. And he sent an apostle who brought that word to us. He said, the man is short. The man is tall. How does it concern me? That the man is short or long. How does it concern me? The word is true. That's all I want to know. Say the man, his leg is left and his leg is right. How is that my business? The word is true, so I take the word. Amen. Thank God for his dedication. Hallelujah. So, brethren, let's repent and go back and do the first work. Go back to the word. It's about, you know where it is. Exodus 25. Then you spill over and enter the news because you read. Then you get to two numbers. Then, of course, you end up in Revelation. And then you'll come back to Ezekiel. You see that they're all the same. Amen. And the tapes are there. I'm going to put up some website. Because we were not taking advantage of this. They are on the Sunlight website. They say juicy light. I am not a juicy light. I am not a juicy light. Or a poor light. But where I see light, I go for it. And the man has light. The man brought light. I'm here to see anyone, anywhere in the globe that has the light of my hand. Tell me one, then I will sit here and I ask you. So, I'm not a juicy light, but the man brought light. A man that sat down with Jesus for 7 months, they are there already in your leg. Have you seen Jesus?
Hallelujah.
Every day with Jesus, 4 p.m., bagan. See, 1 p.m. in the night, 7 months running. You go up there, you eat and not go to our bar. I thought they do say light, but the man brought light. So I'm going for it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Any hole there, I'll put my head there. Amen. You want me to say that's your problem. I'm not a to say like. Amen.
Amen.
So brethren, let's give us this. Let's go. Let us do the first work. And when you start practicing it, you will see strength come to you.
Amen.
You will see life come to you. When we were doing it, that's why we were different. The time we forgot it, God forgot us. So, and that's what God is restoring back again to us. And in this hall in August, with the young people, we had a blast. We had a blast. You were weeping here yesterday, I was telling some people. You know, God, you never see. In this hall, we had a blast in August. So, there is that anointing that is flowing us. And God is returning to us. Because we went back to the change. I was going back to you. And there's a change. So, brethren, so that's the product. You know? So, it's the soul.
Outside the garden. That's the
kind
of
thing. It's on a journey. So it's on a journey. Into the garden. That's it. The soul is the one that comes to the brazen altar. Because the soul is an altar. It is judged with rags. You must come to a place where it is consecrated. Separated from the world. And then God begins to separate what has separated from the world. And it must die to flesh. Because God is a spirit. The soul must come up to the realm of the spirit. Because the husband is in the spirit. Don't you understand?
That's right.
If your husband is in America, are you going to stay in Nigeria and marry your husband? You're going to reach America now. So you have to go to Nigeria and get visa. And then start thinking, I'm gonna. Stay here, I'm gonna. Why? The husband is in America.
Language will change. So here, your language must change.
Amen.
And start speaking spiritual language.
Amen.
Because you are going to marry a spiritual man.
Amen.
It's possible.
Glory.
And so because you must enter. So you are coming into the realm of the spirit. When you come into the holy place, you start seeing something. The only thing you see here are cherubims. Cherubims and flowers.
Mm.
You said you are going back into the garden, isn't it so?
Amen.
You are going to a spiritual garden. Which garden you are?
Mm.
Must be true. And when you get in there, you see the glory. You see light and you hear voice. You don't see anybody. Hallelujah. He said that there was a voice that began to speak to Moses from between the wings of the cherubim. Say, there's one with you. Amen. If you doubt, you see an aeroplane flying. How did the aeroplane get to the sky? How did the aeroplane get up in the sky? If the aeroplane flies, you fly more than the aeroplane. You have wings. Hallelujah. The living creatures have wings, and they're going to get two additional wings, the world and the spirit. When he gets these wings, he's going to fly into the heavens. I say, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. So there is nothing that concerning us and the earth. We are leaving the earth. We are crossing over. And we are going into the heavens. Because our Lord, our head, our husband is in the heavens. So we are going there. So the things of the earth, we have to do. So you must decide. If you say you love the earth, Upper said, no. I love my people. I love my God. No one says, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will bury. And she began to walk. A few thousand years later, she became the great grandmother of Jesus. You understand? That's where he runs. He comes from consecration. One step. So when you make that consecration, you don't know what's going to happen to you. One step after the other, and you're going. Now you're going to be joined in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So brother, that's it. So it's a walk, and you go up. So we need to go back and do the first thing. And God will teach us. Amen. If there are people who are not born again, we are going to address it. Those who are not born again, you are going to have an opportunity to respond to the call. Those who are fasting and you need to make a consecration, you have the opportunity to.
Amen.
Those who are not baptized in the Holy Ghost,
Amen.
You have the opportunity to be baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because without the Holy Ghost,
no.
I don't even see where you are going to go.
Amen.
Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the first deposit. Because the spirit must come into your spirit before it can come into your soul. There are three resurrections. There are three deaths. The spirit of man fell, the soul fell, the body followed. In the resurrection, the spirit goes first. That is what the baptism of the Holy Ghost does for you. Amen. Now we are in the second experience, that is of the soul. When the glory of God,
glory,
yeah,
glory,
the body is going. The body is going. And as a sign, when Jesus also took his own body, many graves broke up and they came out and they followed him. So this body is going to change. Anywhere, this body is it goes anywhere. The power in the soul, it follows. Any government, the power. If the devil is in the soul, the body follows the devil. If the Holy Ghost is in the soul, the body follows. It's anywhere you're there, I follow you. That's the way the body is. He said that we shall be unclothed, that we might be clothed with our house from heaven. That mortality may be swallowed up our life. That body, forget about the body. The body will be changed. But first of all, the soul must be changed. That is the resurrection. And before Jesus went to the cross, he had the fullness of God in his soul. But the body was still mortal. He died. But after three nights and 3 days, you know so? So the power of God came into his body.
He said, you will not leave my soul in hell. Or so he's resurrected and took his body. And when you receive power in your soul, you take your body. Amen. Why do you think that there is a revolution in medicine? Why everybody talk about heaven? It's a sign in the spirit that the body is about to change. Don't you understand? It's a sign in the spirit. The diet is changing because God wants to restore the body. Hallelujah. That's just by the side. It's just by the side. The body is going to be changed. This body can go anywhere. It can fly. It can disappear and appear. Hallelujah. It can go in and out. Forget it. This one. That's why already in India they are practicing it. They are doing astral travel. I just laughed. They did that one. Don't you see all the things they are doing now? You see Batman, Superman. What do you think they are doing? Why? What do you think? They are looking through the back door. They know something is about to happen. But we have the reality. Hallelujah. We have the reality. So if somebody says, I want to backslide now, you're in the wrong place. This is a time everybody must get up. Say, me, I'm entering. I must enter. Because this is when life is coming to the church. He said, now is salvation of the church. The church is about to rise. Because the devil is losing the battle. He tells you, no, he's losing the battle. Because God is showing us. We are seeing the pattern. It's not story. It's reality. You know, and God is restoring us. So, without the Holy Ghost, I don't see how the soul can be saved. So, our young people must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't say they are too young. If you are pregnant, pray. That child will speak it on this side. It's in the Bible now. They told, isn't also? Zachariah, isn't also? Elizabeth. Say the baby leaped. Say me too, I go follow. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are in for a great time. We are in for a great time. And every man has his own order, his own area that he's going to come into. Praise God. So we can pray now. So I think we will have time to deal with questions. So let's not we will have a time to go over this and get into questions. Praise God.